today on Real Radio.
It would be very wise if you are a national leader to do everything possible to avoid tampering with the nation of Israel. It's kind of like a trap. You better not goof off with the nation of Israel. Look at what history shows about nations who treat Israel poorly. God deals with them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ, and also what would happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 17, we learned how Damascus, the capital of Syria, will play a role in end-time events. Damascus has been attacked many times in history, but unlike Israel, God will use other nations to completely destroy it. But war is not our greatest threat today. Our greatest threat is forgetting God and what He's done for us. Now, continuing in Isaiah chapters 18 and 19, we'll see how Isaiah's prophecies cover the entire world, and even more so as the end approaches. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah speaks of God's judgment on Ethiopia, which used to be known as Cush, and also His judgment on Egypt. But we in the United States have also departed from God. We failed to realize just how dependent we are upon Him. We can't forget how God has blessed America more than any other nation in history. And now in his lesson called Always God at Work, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's tough stuff. Isaiah chapter 18 is tough stuff. That's why we're only going to spend like about 3 minutes in it and be moving on into chapter 19, I hope. But turn to Isaiah chapter 18, and you know, I make light of that, but not really. It's the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 18, and we're looking at a message entitled tonight, Always God at Work. Always. It's always God at work. And what might look kind of remote and strange to us as Isaiah speaks about his day and the things that are surrounding Israel or Judah as a nation and Ethiopia, as we'll see in a moment, it will be the burden of the Lord against Ethiopia because God is bringing judgment. And we've been in these chapters where God's judgment is being pronounced upon various nations that had interaction with his people Israel. Now, before we get into this tonight, keep this in mind. It would be very wise if you are a national leader to do everything possible to avoid tampering with the nation of Israel. It's kind of like a trap. You better not goof off with the nation of Israel. You say, well, as a national leader, I'll stay away from it completely. I'll ignore them. Well, you don't want to do that either because you could get in trouble for that. You can also get in trouble for messing with them in the wrong way. God uses the nation of Israel among the nations of the earth for all kinds of reasons. Read your Bibles. Know well. And again, you don't have to be a Christian to figure this one out. Look at nations that have tampered with the Jew or with the nation of Israel. It never fares well with them. God says concerning Israel that they are the apple of his eye. The apple. You know what the apple of his eye means? You know the cornea of your eye? You pick it, touch it. God says, when you mess with Israel, you're poking me in the eye. And that's serious stuff. You say, well, that's crazy. Listen, it may sound crazy to you. I get that. But that's what the Bible says. You say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, then do you believe history? Look at what history shows about nations who treat Israel poorly. God deals with them. It's pretty amazing. You guys know, as we look at the book of Isaiah that Isaiah is known as the evangelical prophet. And in that, out of the book of Isaiah comes more of salvation doctrine in the Old Testament that is again supported and leaned upon in the New Testament than any other book of the Bible. And Isaiah is a seer, he's a prophet, and he's speaking about not only times and the age in which he lives in, but Isaiah, being a prophet of God, would speak out into future times. And it's a very amazing thing. So as God speaks to him to the moment, Isaiah is hard to follow because as you're going along, the very next verse can take you out into 1,000, 2,000 years or beyond from Isaiah's moment. And so you have to read him carefully. And tonight is one of those nights. And as we look to this in Isaiah chapter 18, we're going to read again, as I mentioned a moment ago, that these are the burdens against these nations that God is dealing with. And when we say the word burden, the word, some of your translations of your Bible in modern day language uses the word the judgment against. So the judgment against, for example, we saw Babylon, or the judgment against Assyria, or the judgment against, in this case, we'll see tonight in Isaiah chapter 19. Oh, I hope we make it to chapter 19 tonight. We'll see the judgment against Egypt, which is a fascinating judgment about Egypt. Amazing. You're going to be shocked of what God has to say about the nation of Egypt. But we'll start in chapter 18 with this judgment against Cush, or you know it as Ethiopia, but it is judgment. And before we get into this tonight, think of this. Does God judge nations? Yes, he says he does. Well, it doesn't seem like God's judging nations today. Well, are you sure? Don't you think, as you look around at the Middle East of late, that God is not in fact judging the Middle East and those nations, many of them? God is judging nations. And he judges nations based upon how the leaders of those nations take that nation. Some of those nations would say tonight, the people, we didn't have much to say about that because we were under a dictatorial rule. And God knows in his mercy and his grace how to deal with that. I mean, my goodness, you look, where is tonight Muammar Gaddafi, for example? Where is Saddam Hussein? Where is Osama bin Laden, for example? Where are some of these nations' leaders? But listen, God judges nations, and what's scary about when he does that is when he judges a nation like ours, because this is what's very, very scary about the United States of America, is that we don't have, I know it's hard for you to believe this, but we do not have dictators in our country. I know it's hard for you to believe that. Here's why it's a little bit different for us. We're the ones who sent them there. We picked our leaders. In some countries, the leaders stormed in by a military coup and took control of the country. Well, we didn't do that. In our brilliance, we voted these bozos into office, and then we wonder why things are going so bad. Because we selected bad leaders. And guess what? That's a form of judgment. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you should read your Bible more. Did not the children of Israel have God to be their leader? Wasn't that how it was supposed to go? Isn't that what God told them? I'll be your leader. I'll lead you. And they said, well, okay. And they kind of complained about it the whole time because they looked around at the bordering nations around them and they saw these amazing kings with all this pomp and glory. And the Israelites looked across the border and they went, wow, that's awesome. We'd like to have somebody like that. I mean, just think about it. He can go by in an awesome chariot and everybody can bow down and we can pay all our taxes to him, and they can control all of our crop and take our kids into slavery. That's what we want. And God said to the people, listen, Samuel, go anoint Saul. Just go anoint him. Because, and by the way, Samuel, stop crying. They haven't rejected you, Samuel. God says, they rejected me. And they want a man to lead them. But tell them this. I know this is not a study in 1 Samuel, but God says, just make sure you tell the children of Israel this. The man that they've selected, he will take part of your land. He will take much of your oil, much of your wine, and he will tax you so much that your children will become slaves of his kingdom. But they wanted a man, and that's what you get when you have a man who leads. And that's exactly what Israel got. Be very careful. God judges nations, and God, I believe, is either opening the door to commence judgment on the United States. We may be into it. We may be well into it. Because we as a nation have departed from God. And that's a tragic thing. So as we look to this tonight, look at Isaiah chapter 18, verse 1. He says, "Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia." And if you're a Bible student, circle the word Ethiopia, and you would put Cush, C-U-S-H. That's the region of Cush that is mentioned in your Bible in various prophetic utterances of the Bible. What's interesting is most Bible scholars say that, listen, most Bible scholars say that this is the judgment against Ethiopia or Cush. But look at verse 1, you guys, very carefully. "Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings." Nobody knows what that means. I'm just going to tell you right now, you read all of the ancient scholars, and they'll say things like, well, there's a lot of birds in the region of North Africa where Ethiopia is, and Cush, which is broader than Ethiopia. It encompasses Ethiopia today, but it's bigger. There's a lot of birds there. A lot of exotic birds come from that part of the land, so the land of buzzing, I don't know. We don't know. It's speculation. Some have said, well, there's a lot of water there, and there's a lot of mosquitoes there and insects, so that's what it must mean. Listen, great scholars guess at what is this land of buzzing wings like this. So what is it? We don't know. Said, Pastor Jack, do you know? I don't know. But what's interesting is I don't think it's necessarily speaking about Cush or Ethiopia, because look at the second half of verse 1. "Woe to the land shattered with buzzing wings, which is what, church? Look at it carefully. Always read your Bible carefully. Which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia." Beyond, something bigger than all that. Isaiah is flirting with us to consider the word of God more broadly. Whatever's going on is dealing with areas of North Africa. Verse 2, "which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the waters, saying, go swift, messengers, to a nation tall." The word tall, circle it, it's an amazing word. The word tall doesn't mean tall. The word tall means developed, independent, advanced. An advanced people, an independent people, a developed people. "And smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide." And I'll just spare you the grief and we'll move on. Nobody knows yet today what Isaiah is talking about. That's why some speculation goes so far to say, and you never want to do this, some Bible scholars say, it must be America. Don't do that. When you read the Bible, don't try to read California into it. Well, it must be in America. Why do you say that? Because I live in America. Don't do that. That's not the right way to interpret the Bible. The truth is, we don't know what he's talking about. We don't know for sure. But watch verse 3. Now Isaiah makes that jump that I was warning you about earlier. He goes into the prophetic world. "All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth." Okay, now God is showing him something beyond North Africa. "When he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, you hear it. For so the Lord said to me, I will make my rest," or take my rest, "and I will look from my dwelling place like clear heat." Circle the words clear heat. This is not good. "I am going to depart from you," this nation, this region. "I'm going to depart from you. I'm going to go to my place and rest." What does that mean? This we know what it means. This is scary. Are you with me, everybody? I'm going to remove my covering from you as a people, as a nation. I'm going to imagine an umbrella, and it's hailing, snowing, raining, but you're fine. You're safe. But then you begin to disobey God, or you begin to offend God. And what does God do? God says, I'm going to go back to my place, and I'm going to sit back and put my feet up and stop providing for you the umbrella. If you are in the elements and the umbrella is taken away, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get wet. You're going to get hailstones on your head, right? You're going to get cold. Or when the sun comes out, you're going to get heat. Why? God is saying, you walk with me, I'll bless you. God blesses obedience. You choose not to obey me? Then don't expect my covering to be there. A lot of people suffer, really messed Christians, disobedient to God, wind up going from one tragedy to the next, and they're wondering why their lives are so messed up, and yet they're living against the will of God. They may be Christians, but they're sinning against God. He loves them, but they are being self-willed. They're being self-led. Well, in this case, regarding nations, God does the same thing. He's at work among the nations. And so the clear heat is actually a very violent, withering heat. It is a sweltering heat, a clear heat in the Hebrew, not good. Like clear heat in sunshine. Watch this, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer, don't ever intend to be a farmer, but it's one of the most lofty professions on the planet. You ain't got any farmers, you ain't got no food. And all of us like to eat. And what I did find out about this is a scourge. You never want to have rain or dew at the time of harvest because it completely ruins your crop. Look how fragile we are as a people. With all the technology we have in the world, isn't it amazing? We could have food growing in the fields across the fruited plains of America. And if rain comes at the wrong time, the price of corn, bread, everything goes through the roof. Think of it. We are so dependent upon God. What's going to happen when God removes the umbrella from our crops? You see, he would never do that. Oh, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's got to do it. Very serious thing. Verse 5, before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he will both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks. In other words, they have premature crops. They don't come to maturity. And take away and cut down the branches. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prey and for the beasts of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. Just crops that are laying on the ground because they never had a chance to mature. Verse 7, in that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts. This gets very interesting. From a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place, listen to this, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. All of a sudden, it introduces us to Isaiah, jumps thousands of years to the future about the establishment of the millennial reign of Christ. He's talking about when the Lord is, and you've been hearing this throughout the book of Isaiah, when the Lord comes and establishes his throne in Zion. Very strange chapter, very strange prophecy. We just file this chapter 18 under the category, we'll wait and see. Very interesting stuff. Chapter 19, look at us, go now. Chapter 19, verse 1. The burden against Egypt. Don't you love the Bible? Here we look at 21st century, here we are tonight. We're reading the Bible, and the Bible says that God has a judgment against what country? Egypt. Can you spin the globe right now and put your finger on a nation called Egypt? Don't you love your Bible? Isn't that awesome? We take that for granted, don't we? Well, there's always been an Egypt. I understand that. But the Bible has said that there's an Egypt. And lo and behold, there's an Egypt still. I think it's fascinating. I love that. The accuracy of your Bible. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. Wow. The idols, you can circle the word idols. The word in Hebrew means worthless things. These images. But watch this. I need you to circle idols because you're going to be quite shocked as to what Isaiah is talking about. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. This is within the realm of Egypt. Verse 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers. Stop right there for a second. Egypt, God is saying, the burden I have against you, I'm going to enter into judgment with the nation and the peoples of Egypt. And one of the scourges that God allows to come upon them is that they will be a people who will war against themselves. They'll attack themselves. They'll go against themselves. Now, what's interesting is Egypt was once, obviously, you know, the greatest in their day empire on earth. You can go to the British Museum, which you should all go to. I'm serious. I mean, I'm not one to encourage people going into debt, but if you have to go into debt, get an airline ticket and go to the British Museum with your Bible open and spend a few days there. You will be freaking out as you go there into that museum, and you'll come to this display and it will have these artifacts from Egypt, and it's going to have even scripture references because this particular dynasty was when Moses was there. See, listen, your Bible is the Word of God, and it's qualified not only by linguistics, but by archaeology, by science, history, antiquity. Remarkable. And God says, I'm going to deal with Egypt, and when I'm done dealing with Egypt, they will never be the powerhouse that they once were.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, it's God's desire always to bless us. It's only when we refuse Him that He lifts His hand from our lives. Always God at Work, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you had a chance to catch a few videos on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel? He's got some amazing, hard-hitting topics on there that can really help your faith. In these videos, Pastor Jack tackles some pretty controversial subjects. So if you're a Christian who wants to dive deeper into what the Bible says about border control, immigration, abortion, gun control, racism, socialism, and drug use, the series is called Engaging the Culture. It's critical that believers stay informed about what's happening in their culture today when so many of our leaders aren't lobbying for the gospel or the church. Now, most of us have paid some attention to YouTube, so next time you sit down at the computer, head over to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the YouTube channel, and learn how to engage the culture that you live in and point others towards Christ. And don't forget to click on the notifications icon for the latest video. If you need more info, it's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.